Hallelujah.
Everyone to the program,
and those in the global around us, the many countries that are listening to the program. I'm not going to name you individually, but there are so many of you, and we just welcome you, and we just thank you that you're aboard with us. Also, we remember everybody in the United States also that's joined the program tonight, because there's something here for every one of you, every single person. God has something for you this evening, and we just thank you you're here with us, and we just speak God's blessings over you all right now. Before we get on with the program, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer and just ask Him just to meet us where we are at, okay? Heavenly Father, we just want to praise You and thank You, Father, for this wonderful privilege of being on this program tonight, Father, and serving You. And Father, we thank You for the many listeners that are on this program also that are listening, Father. I would ask, Lord, that You prepare and open every heart this evening, Father. And Lord, those that are seeking Your face, Lord, that they will not leave this program tonight unanswered in any way, but they will know from You, they will hear from You by Your Holy Spirit, that they will receive that touch that they need, that healing, that blessing, whatever it might be, that wisdom, that direction, that deliverance. Father, we just pray now, and we know it's not by power and might, but by Thy Holy Spirit. So Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, move on this audience tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, give me the words to say, direct whatever thing I say, that there's nothing comes out of my mouth that's of myself, but it's all of You, Father. And Father, for everything that's accomplished, we'll give You all the glory and all the praise, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And He all said, amen and amen. I didn't mention this a minute ago, but I'll be on the 5 weeks. In fact, the month of September. I started last week, which is the 2nd. Today is the 9th. Next week's the 16th, then the 23rd and the 30th. So I have 5 weeks here to do a program on Evangelist Linda's program here in her network. And that is a great honor and a privilege, and I don't take that lightly, but I consider that an honor and a blessing to do that, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to minister His love and His power through these airways to touch His people. So this evening, I have a message. In fact, it's called You're a Voice of Authority. And many people, when they saw that when we advertised, put it on the flyers, they would say, well, yes, I know authority. We have authority. But do you really believe we have authority? Many people, because their church says it, because they've heard it, and it's been something that they spoke back and forth to one another, will make that confession. But are you really using that authority? It's true, it's biblically true that we do have that authority, but are we using it? You know, when we don't use what God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, when we don't do that, we are like a person that somebody gives $1 million to, and we have $1 million in our pocket. And then we sit in our home, and we starve to death because we don't have any food. We don't go out and use that money in order to buy some food for something to eat. And that's like authority. That's speaking for our own personal selves that way. But when we have that authority, it's really the same thing, because we are embodied with that authority. And we're going to learn tonight just when to use it, how to use it, why we aren't using it, and the ins and outs about it. Because in this last day, without having this settled in our hearts and walking in this, we will not be used the way God wants to use us. He cannot use us that way, because we have to be walking in spiritual authority in order to achieve the thing that God wants us to have to be. First of all, to live an abundant, fruitful life. We are to live an abundant, fruitful life in Jesus Christ. He tells us in John 10 that He's come that He would give us life, and He would give it to us more abundantly. And He wants us to bear much fruit. And this is a must, because only through knowing our authority are we capable and able to bear forth this fruit and to walk in the abundance from God. Okay? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. We're going to read two verses here, and then we're going to be speaking a little more, but I want to read two verses to you. Matthew 7, 29. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Okay, that was Jesus. He taught them as one having authority, not just as a scribe read something, like somebody standing up and reading something, but when He spoke, they sensed that power, that anointing there, that, hey, this man has authority. and the anointing upon us when we speak boldly and we speak words, people will listen to us. A matter of fact, when we do that, authority gives us the hearer that is listening to us speak confidence. He'll give them hope, expectancy, and encouragement. There's just something about listening to someone speaking with the anointing of God on their lives. We are ministered to within our spirit man that we know it's true. Not by our mind, but in our hearts, we know that this is truth. We don't guess or hope it's truth, but we know because it's coming right from the throne of God. Now, Acts 1:8 tells us, as we read that scripture, if you have Acts 1:8, and this is a very familiar scripture, but these scriptures are very familiar, are not being used as God intended for us to use those scriptures to benefit the kingdom of God. He said, but you shall receive power, let the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth. You will receive power, he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, let's see what this actually means here. You know, when we see the word power, it means authority. Some places in Scripture, other places ability, which actually the two go hand in hand, authority and ability. So he said when we receive power, we receive the ability to do it. Because he's already given us the authority, as he said, to go forth. Now, authority, what does that mean? Okay, the meaning of authority is the power to give orders and make decisions, the power or right to direct or control someone or something. Ability means dunamis, force, literally or figuratively, specifically miraculous power, usually by implication a miracle itself, ability, abundance, meaning mightily, mighty deed, worker of miracles, power, strength, violence, mighty wonderful work. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is the enabler of the ability because we've been given the authority, and through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability. So we're seeing there, it's a miracle in itself that we have that great treasure within us, that great working power. Those of us that know Christ as our Savior and are filled with His Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have that ability, He tells us. And through having that ability, that is what sends us forth that we're able to accomplish what He calls us to do. You know, any time that we are given authority or told to do something, God always gives us the ability to do it, whatever it requires. If it requires more people, if it requires money, if it requires favor, divine connections, whatever it is, He gives you everything with it. He gives you the full plan. He has a mission for you, and the supplies are right there that you need. So it's up to us to pick up that plan and pick up those supplies and use it, you see. It's like building a home. Some homes that I've seen out on site, that these homes would have the laborers out there. They have the supplies, and they have the ground and everything. They're getting it ready. Everything was there. And then when they get done putting all those supplies into that home, it would be a completely furnished home. You see, we've been given all that. And there again, I say that when we don't use that authority within us, we are really grieving the Holy Spirit because God has given us power for a purpose. Power is given to you and me for a purpose. He's given us assignment. He's given us the power to accomplish that through the Holy Spirit, the enabler. But when we don't do that, then we're disappointing God. We can't have the joy of the Lord in our hearts not doing that. We can't have the peace of God. We can't enjoy the things of God the way we're supposed to. Because the only place that we can be joyful, the only place that we can be really happy and fulfilled is we're in the center of the will of God. And I'll tell you, folks, God has spoken to me. I know what God wants for His people. And I was a prophet of God. He showed me, and I know, and I have these things that I'm making sure that I'm right myself. And I want to help you get right yourselves if you're not. And the thing right now is for you and I to draw closer to Him and make sure if there's any debris in our lives, any unforgiveness, any wrong attitudes, any situations unaccomplished, any uncompleted missions, whatever it might be, He wants us through the Holy Spirit to look at our hearts, to examine ourselves like never before. And then He wants us to draw close to Him, completely dependent on Him for our very breath. Because the time that we are living is demanding a relationship like that. There's no more straddling the fence or playing church. It's a time that we must we must do what the Word of God says. We must do that Word of God, what He tells us to do. Okay? Now, we are called to take dominion over something, right? Now, we have dominion, because what good would power or authority be if we weren't to have dominion? In other words, that means we're to use this power and authority for something with a purpose. So God has called us to take dominion. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the flesh of the fish, over the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He's given us authority over creation in the realm of the animals, the fish, and the birds, and everything. He's given it to us to be stewards over. He's given us authority over it, okay? Now, what else has he given us authority over? Luke 10, 19, and 20. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Okay, we have the authority over Satan. We have the authority over Satan, okay? We have that authority, okay? That's something he's given us authority. That the spirits, the darkness, all the evil of this earth have no authority over us. We don't have to run from the devil, be afraid we're going to offend the devil, be afraid we're going to do this and that. We just have to go in and destroy the works of the devil like Jesus. The Word of God tells us that Jesus was created that he would destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father right now, so it's up to you and I to destroy the works of the devil. And how do we destroy the works of the devil? By the Word of God and in the name of Jesus, taking that authority. Okay? The third thing we take authority over, which you don't hear mentioned very often, I can't recall anybody really preaching or teaching on this particular thing, but it's something you and I might like to hear. Take authority over yourself. You and I have to take authority over ourselves, and when we take authority over ourselves, we must discipline ourselves. In fact, that's a fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance. Those that are striving for the mastery must have self-control or temperance, you see. If we want to be a mighty man of God, or whatever the case, a woman of God, we must have control of ourselves, because don't ask God to take control of your life if you don't have control of it yourself. Discipline, self-control, and I know that's a bad word with a lot of people. In some ways, it'd be like eating. Some people say, oh, my discipline, self-control, oh, I like to eat. Or they might say, or overeat. Or they might say, I don't feel like reading the Bible or doing all this. I just can't get up early enough to do that, and I'm busy, I'm working. I can't control myself with that. I have to do what I have to do. No. You have to control yourself to the place that you're being obedient unto what God's called you to do, what you must do, and that includes reading the Word and prayer, which is a major thing. But anything else he wants you to do, you don't fit it into your schedule. You make sure that gets taken care of first, and then when you take care of that first, then the other things come second. And, you know, when you take care of God's business first, I've learned that he takes care of my business, and he takes care of a lot better than I can. So, you see, we must have that willing heart to take authority over ourselves, and if we feel like getting jealous about somebody, if we feel like unforgiveness towards somebody, or feel like poking somebody for something because somebody has wronged us terribly, we must lay that aside and forgive them and ask God to move in their lives and help them, because they wouldn't have wronged you the way they did if they'd be following the Lord and be obedient to the Lord. Nobody would do the wrong things they do if they were obedient to the Lord and following the Holy Spirit, would they? So we must consider that. We must pray for those that have wronged us, those that have hurt us, and we must take control of ourselves that way with our emotions, with our thoughts and everything. And another area of control, and this is probably the most difficult area, is when things happen. Are we reacting what our emotions direct us to do? Are we pausing and leaving the Spirit guide us and reacting the way the Bible tells us to do it? You see, we must train ourselves to come to a place when something happens, we don't become fearful of sudden things that come upon us, sudden fear or whatever would come upon us. We have to stop and deal with it according to the Scripture. Now, you might say, I don't know if I know the Scripture pertains to what I'm dealing with. Well, see, that's why we're to study to show ourselves approved, because we need to have the word, like Psalms 119:11 says, within our hearts, that whenever something comes, you have Bible for it right away in your own memory, you see. That's why we have to hide the word of God in our hearts, that it's there when we need it, because you don't know when you're going to need it. Maybe you won't have a Bible in your hand. Maybe there'll be nobody around you. Maybe it could be a situation, just you're just by yourself, and what's within your heart is all you've got. So that's why it's so important to know that. But know that our actions and reactions must be based upon the word of God. So that's why it is so important for you and I to know that word, and then we can act and react accordingly to it. Now, we can know the word of God, and sometimes many of us that know the word of God, if we're not careful, we can leave our emotions run ahead of us also and make those mistakes and say or do the wrong thing in our actions or reactions. You know what I'm saying? And that happens. I mean, I've done it before, and everybody has done it before it knows the Lord. But you see, these are the areas that you and I have to work on and polish up through the help of the Holy Spirit, because He wants to make us better than that. I must be getting better in these things than I was yesterday. Next week at this time, when I come on the broadcast, I should be able to say that I'm better at doing this than I was last week. And next week, I should be able to say the same thing. I need to grow in these areas. You do. We all do, you see. But I'm naming some key things here, the little foxes that spoil the vine that messes us up where we can't go forth the way God has called us to go forth, you see. These are things that mess us up and hurt us, the things that stop us from living a fruitful, abundant life. And we want to get all that God has for us personally, and we want to do all we can that God wants to do through us personally to others, you see. So we need to take authority over ourselves, examine ourselves. Those three things. We have authority over creation. We have authority over evil forces. When Satan attacks us, we don't say, "Oh, God, get the devil off me. He just beat me up. Oh, God, help me. I'm hurting here. Take care of me, God." No, 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 no. You take up authority over him. You rise up and in the name of Jesus, take authority over him. And don't cower down like that, because you might feel like wimping out. I felt like wimping out before like that. Sometimes I feel like boo-hoo-hoo and putting my tail between my legs and running. But that's not true. That's not true. You cannot do that. You must rise up, your spirit man, rise up within you and take that authority God has given to you. Okay? Then take authority over yourself, examining yourself and making sure you're doing the things that you need to do that pleases God, that he wants you to do. It's going to get you to the place where he's taking you. So that's what that's all about. Now, I have three nuggets here that are coming into play about this right here that we need to really keep in mind. And people, this is where people go wrong in the authority. You can overdo it. I named the things we are to do, though. Let's start getting into something here that sometimes we get in a no-no zone and use the authority wrongly. We don't have authority over another person's will. If we try to take that over somebody's will, that's what they call witchcraft, when you try to take authority over another person's will. God Almighty himself does not have that authority over our will, because he's made it such that way. You see, he could have, when he created us, he could have taken authority over our wills, but he decided not to. So he purposely said, "I will not take authority over your will. I do not do that." Now, if God himself does not take authority over anybody's will, why would you or I try to do that? But yet there's people who try to manipulate people. That's called manipulation. Manipulation. Jezebel spirit. Witchcraft. Anything that tries to, or anyone that tries to manipulate you and deceive you and deception is a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing, and that's wrong. So never try to enforce your will on another person's will. You encourage them in things, but you never try to take their will from them. Because I'll tell you something, if you do get somebody to do something your way, their heart isn't in it. It's not going to last anyhow. If a person's heart or will isn't in it, they aren't going to do it. Just like if you would, it's an example. If you're a pastor and you want somebody to teach you a Sunday school class, and you really need somebody there, and you know that person really doesn't want to do it, but wrongly, you have that person do it to take over that position, they're not going to be successful at it. And they're not going to stay at it because they won't be at peace about it. It's not for them to do. It's not God's will and their will, you say. You don't force their will. It must be agreement in the spirit. I'm not going to get into that. There's more to that about signing positions and how God works that. But what I'm trying to say is you put a person in a position out of their will, it's going to be temporary. They're not going to last because they're going to be miserable. So you can't override somebody's will. The next thing is when a person has authority, and this is something that's really overlooked. We use a pastor again because I'm sticking to a lot of spiritual things, even though we use this in the secular too, the secular things like secular jobs and things like that. But authority on a job or as a pastor over a church has authority over people, but not their wills. Authority considers, and here's the thing to learn. Authority considers the person's welfare and best interest also. In other words, you could be a pastor of a church really wanting things to happen, and you're using people, and sometimes more than they should be used, overuse them, okay? And you might use that person so much it'll actually mess up their family life. It'll cause problems with the husband, the wife, the children, but you'll be using that to get going what you want in that church as your goal. In other words, you're so minded to go ahead, you're not considering the welfare of those that you have authority over. A good leader always considers those that you have authority over, that you're not hurting them, you see. And sometimes the authority might be used that you have to really have them leave that position because it's not for them or it's really hurting them. So you must have wisdom when you do things like this. You must get the mind of God in doing these things, but you must have an attitude that I'm not just trying to drive forth to get what I want done, but I have authority, but I want to use that authority not to hurt those that are around me to help me to attain that goal, whatever it might be. You see, considering others, and that's the thing that many leaders overlook. They overlook the welfare of those around them. They just are minded to get that goal that they want, and they just use people just as objects to get there, and that's never right. You must consider those around you. Okay, the next thing, we many times say that what Jesus did or said, as well as others that have done the same thing, without considering ourselves having the same authority. It doesn't matter what your calling is. Okay, many times we speak of the generals of the past. We speak of great men and women of God in the Bible. We talk about that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I praise God for that. There are examples and encouragement for you and I. But let me ask you a question. If these generals would have considered somebody else and never looked at themselves but just considered the others, would they have became a general? Of course not. What has happened to people that are successful in Jesus Christ and successful in life and have abundant, fruitful life? They see themselves having this authority themselves as an individual. And they're not looking to model after any woman, any man. They're modeling after the Word of God and Jesus Christ. They're focused on Him and His Word. And they're not considering what others say or what others think, but they're considering what He's saying to them personally, what they're to do. In fact, they have single vision. They're just hearing that, not considering people, paying little attention to it, but just hearing from Him and doing it, knowing He's leading them. You know, the world can tell you you're wrong, can be against you, and be giving you a horrible time. But if you have God's peace in your heart, the way you're living your life, what you're doing, when you have that, if the world be against you and God's for you, who can be against you, like the Bible tells us? If God be for you, who can be against you? So that's the goal that you and I need to have this day and age. It should always be that way, but especially in this time. If God is for me, who can really be against me? And what difference does it make? Because if I have the peace of God, which I do, if I have the peace of God in my heart, I don't care what anybody thinks or says of me. I could care less because I know what I am and who I am. And I'll say this, whenever people speak against you in a wrong way and you know who you are and you're pleasing God, what happens is you see the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know when they're in error and they know when they're in truth. You know they're hearing from God or they aren't hearing from God, you see. So when you are all right with the Lord in your heart, it doesn't matter what others say or think. So don't consider what other people are going to say or think of you or what they're going to do about it, where it's going to leave you. Too often we consider that before we do what God tells us to do and leave the chips fall where they may. That's the kind of a guy I am. I believe we should leave the chips fall where they may. And I've done that many times, and I've had some very difficult things through the years. But I'll tell you one thing. I had the peace of God in my heart, and I see the move of God in my life. And I've seen God move, and I know what's in my spirit and my heart. And that's what it's got me. And I wouldn't change ways for all the tea in China. I'll tell you, because I know it's pleasing to the Lord. And that's all I care about, that I'm pleasing God and I have that relationship with Him, because really, folks, that's all that matters. Now, let me give you an example about authority. Again, now, we're speaking in some various areas here, but, you know, we have authority. And as I said a few minutes ago, with that authority we have, we don't ask God to do it. We do it ourselves. In other words, the devil attacks us. We don't say, God, get the devil off of me. Get him away from me. Get him away, Lord. The devil is bothering me. He says, son, I've given you the name of Jesus and the authority. You get rid of him, right? That's what the Word of God teaches. He's given us authority. So when somebody, if your boss gives you authority to do something, you ask your boss to do it? We're going to take this in a secular job. You know, you're working a secular job. You have a boss. He said, I want you to make sure these people get this thing out tonight, this project out. Are you going to expect him to get this project out for you and take care of these people so they'll get the job out tonight? No, he said, I've given you authority, and I've told you to do it, so you get these people to finish your job and get it out tonight. I'm not going to do it. I've given you the authority. And that's what God's saying to you and I, folks. Jesus started this thing 2,000 years ago. He started this 2,000 years ago. Now he's at the right hand of the Father. He's saying, all right, children, I've given you everything you have need of. I've given you example. I've showed you what to do. I've given you the power. I've given you the Holy Spirit. Now you go for it. And that's really what it is. And we're responsible for that, because each one of us has a part to play. And I'm not just talking about the fivefold ministry. I'm talking about everybody, because everybody has a ministry, no matter what it is, where it is, or how it is. Everybody, God wants them to do something. Okay, there's a man here, and you might be a little shocked at this. I learned this recently myself, and I was a little shocked at it. But if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, you're going to find Apostle Paul actually made a mistake, the giant of God that he was. Remember the old story that how he sought the Lord three times because a messenger of Satan was harassing him? A lot of people in the church world today are saying, well, that was bad eyesight because of the place where he spoke about eyes in there. Then they come up with all kinds of things, which really that wasn't it either, because it said a messenger of Satan buffeted him, a harassing spirit. Okay, so much said for the harassing spirit. But if you notice something, when he said that there, he sought the Lord three times. Now, why did he seek the Lord about it? If it was a devil harassing me, am I to seek the Lord about it? No. What would we just say? We take authority over him. So evidently there was something missing with Paul there. He sought the Lord about it instead of doing it himself. But now here's where the verse that really confirms it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, I'd rather suffer my infirmities that the power of Christ would rest upon me. The power of Christ is upon us and in us, and it resonates right there. And when things like he said come against us, that power is within us where we can get that freedom from whatever that thing is coming against us. We take the authority, you see. We don't have to seek the Lord about a messenger of Satan or any other thing of Satan that comes against us. We seek wisdom and things like that. Don't misunderstand. But when it comes to casting the devil out and getting the devil out of our lives, we don't ask the Lord to do it. We do it, you see. And I know there's times that things come against us in life. Sometimes you think, man, is it ever going to end? It just seems like everything's just going haywire, Lord. What's going on here? And that could have been maybe the way Paul was there when he was harassed by the thing. It might have been beside himself. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. He was reminded that that power is resting in him and upon him, because the greater one's in us, isn't it? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The greater one's within us, you see. And you and I need to not lose sight of that. That's where our problems begin sometimes, because we lose sight. We lose sight of these things. And, you know, in thinking about these things here, various times in our lives, we have to recognize that what really causes us to lose sight of this is I have four things that I wrote down that cause us to lose sight of our authority and why don't we operate in authority as we should. Just why aren't we doing it? practice? Why aren't we using the authority God has given us? Well, there might be more things, but I'm just naming a few right now. But first of all, we have lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So maybe we don't know it. Okay, now you know it if you listen to the message notes. So that can't be your excuse. The next thing is fear. And you know what fear really comes from? Fear comes from you not really believing that God is there through His Holy Spirit to get the job done, but you're thinking of yourself accomplishing that, and you see and you know very well you cannot accomplish the thing that's over your head, and you're afraid it's going to fail and you're going to suffer the consequences. You don't have the assurance that the greater one is within you. He that feareth, the Bible tells us, is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And being made perfect in love is the resonating of the Holy Spirit within us that gives us that peace and that assurance that no fear can be in there. So you're really depending on yourself when you're in fear. You're not having the assurance of the presence of God in you and that relationship with God in that particular situation. And the next thing that reason we don't use the authority we should, sometimes our emotions overcome us. In other words, we're attacked so much, we just get emotionally really messed up in our emotions. We just get this kind of branched out there. We just this kind of messed up. We can't seem to think, and we just are unable to do it. And sometimes you come to a place now, let me qualify this, because we aren't going to preach pie in the sky and things that aren't reality. But I've had times in my life that I couldn't even praise the Lord. I couldn't speak in tongues. I couldn't do anything. I just said, oh, God, help me. And I just fall down on my face. I mean, there's just nothing I could do. I mean, I was stretched as far as I could be stretched, about ready to crack. And then He came on the scene. There's some time that He stretches you so far. So don't feel condemned about this message here or bad about it if you couldn't end that place, because you will come to that place. We all could. God does stretch His people like that from time to time, where you are stretched so far you don't think you could handle it anymore. But, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He won't allow us to go beyond what we can take, but He'll give us a way of escape. So that's your promise, too, that you're not going to crack if you stay with Him. You're not going to crack. He's going to take you to and give you relief. But in that relief, He's made you a couple inches taller than you were, you see. He's stretching you. He's stretching me. Okay, the next thing, number four, the reason we don't do as we should and don't take that authority is the fact that we just become weary. We can become kind of content in what we do sometimes. In other words, we're weary of it. We've seen it for so long. I guess it's never going to happen. I just give up. I just have to live with it. It's not God's will or this type of thing. But, you know, when we go for something in the Lord, when we pray and we speak the Word of God, before we do that, you and I need to come to the place that we're going to stay in that prayer until that prayer comes forth. Sometimes we have a little growing to do before it can come forth. Sometimes it's the timing. Maybe there's something wrong in our life sometimes it hasn't come forth right away. There can be a lot of reasons. I'm not going to enumerate on them. But what I will say, if you're seeking the heart of God, you will know in yourself. You don't need a lot of teaching on that. He will see that you know. God will relate to you if you mean business with Him. But we have to motivate ourselves, a little bit like Paul told Timothy. He said, stir up that gift within you. Stir it up. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in what you're doing. Go forth. Go forth. Use that authority that you have. Because He said, I'll renew your strength. He says, those that wait upon the Lord, I'll renew their strength. Isaiah 40:31. So you see, we've been given a promise if we dare to step out even in that weary stage. I've had times that even when preaching, I felt like preaching about as much as the man in the moon. I felt like getting up as much as the man in the moon. I felt lousy. I felt like going the other way. But you know something, when I decided not to leave that to stop me, but I get up there, the anointing hit me, and it was great. It was great what God did. A lot of times, God is waiting for you and I to dare to step above what we're feeling, the hard circumstances, to step above it, because that's where the blessing comes in. Just that one little step yet takes us into the great things, you see. How many times has Satan got you and I to quit whenever we're just ready to enter into the promised land, one step before the great blessing? How many times, you see? So that's why you and I have to remain in aggressive situations today, because we are in a war, folks, and we need to be more aggressive, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to really explain this. Satan is getting more aggressive as the days go on right now. But know this, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God rises up a standard against him, and you are with God, and you are over him. You have authority over him. So don't be fearful, folks. Don't be fearful. Okay. How do we come to the place that we reflect as one with authority to others? Jesus showed this, didn't he? Aren't we to be like Jesus? Well, Jesus and the centurion was an example. You know, the centurion was used to having authority. He said, when I tell people to go, they go. When they tell them to come, they come. And whenever he asked Jesus to heal his one of his soldiers, Jesus is going to go to his house. He said, no, I'm not worthy you come to my house. He said, just say the word, because I know when you say it, it'll happen, because I have authority, I use it, and I know you have authority. So he did that, and of course the man was healed. So he took Jesus' word. He didn't have to come to the house and do a lot of things. He just said, just say it, and it's done. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, that was no greater faith in Israel. That's the greatest faith I've seen in Israel. And that's faith, when you take somebody at their word. So wouldn't that be faith if you and I would take God at his word? Isn't that faith? I believe it is. He wants us to do that. Many times we ask for signs. People ask for signs and everything. And don't get me wrong, we need confirmations and things to make sure we're not out in left field. But I've learned, when I step out in things that I've heard never before and situations never before, when I stepped out there, God would confirm it to me. He would actually confirm it to me. I've preached and taught things I've never heard before, because God gives me prophetical teachings and various things that he's ministered to me about, and for others, for all of us. And I've ministered to them before I had anybody say anything about it. But he came back and confirmed them to me. And he'll do it for you. This is an age for that, folks. He's raising up men and women. Didn't he say in Joel 2, verse 25, 6, 7, 8, on through 30, 31, they said, our old men will dream dreams, young men visions, and then sons and daughters will prophesy. That's what he was talking about, because the Holy Ghost is coming upon his people doing the great things, great things. We're just starting to see it, folks. We are just starting to see it. We are babes in what he wants to do. But I'm telling you this, we have to walk the way I'm teaching you tonight, the way I'm teaching myself, the way I program the thing myself in my heart, the way God is showing me. We have to be obedient to that, that you and I can walk in these things and actually see it manifest, not just as something we say. Something we say. You know, I did a post a few days ago on Facebook. Maybe I won't be able to quote you exactly, but this is essence is what it said. Many times we quote the word, and we say that his word won't come back void, but it'll do the purpose it said in Isaiah 55:11. I know everybody pretty familiar with that scripture. But Isaiah 55:11, his word won't come back void, right? God's word won't, because God's word is God's word. But I said, let's take it personally. Let's take it to our own selves. Is God's word in our personal lives and in our ministry going forth, not coming back void, or is it coming back void? What's God's word in your life, in my life, in our ministries, everything about our life? What's God's word in our life doing? Is it coming back void to us, or is it bringing forth fruit that God intended for it to bring forth? And see, you and I must cooperate with that word in order for it to work. Because if we don't, it won't happen, because we're in covenant with God. He's done his part. Now he's saying, daughter, son, I want you to do your part that I can make this happen in your life. Okay, how can we come to that place that we reflect one with authority to others? First of all, I have four little things down here. And they aren't little, they're major. First of all, make sure your stand is scriptural. 1 John 5:14-15 is two beautiful scriptures right here that gives you confidence and faith. I mean, it's some of the best faith verses, that, as far as I'm concerned, that there is. And my looking at them. But 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let's break that down. This is a confidence. Confidence is their full assurance of knowing that we know that we know that we have in the Lord. If we ask anything according to his will, that will means his word. Is it in the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E? Is it scriptural? Is it truth? Is it God's word? Okay, if we ask anything according to his word, he hears us. God doesn't wear a hearing aid, and God is not deaf, and God does not sleep. He does not slumber or sleep. So he heard us, right? So we established it. We asked something according to his word, and he heard us. Now he says in the 15th verse, if we know he heard us, whatsoever we ask, there again, according to what his Bible, his word says, we know. We don't hope, or we don't think, or I sure hope so, or maybe. He said, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. See, we need to be very fervent about that. We know we have it because God's word declares it, and I believe it, and I stand upon it, and I refuse to give up in this thing. I have this, and I'm standing to it manifest. The things that I desire, when I pray, believe it, I receive them, and I shall have them, the Bible says in Mark 11:24. We need to have that type of demeanor, not to impress God. That is not why we take that attitude. It's because there's a devil out there trying to stop us from prospering in our lives, trying to mess up our families, trying to mess up our ministries or finances. Or you name it, he's trying to mess everything up. There's a lot of Christians now are getting messed up from diseases. You name it. I don't have to call those things on the program here because you folks see it. You're around it as much as I am. But I want to tell you something. You must have that attitude against those things because God sent Jesus to give us the answer to these things, to give us the antidote for it, the thing that's going to deliver us from it. He says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So we use the word of God in the name of Jesus, and we stand fervently and firmly and believe that and determine that and will that, and it has to happen or God's word's not true. We all say we believe the word. We believe the word, but do you believe the word enough to stand determined? I have that thing because the word says it in spite of what you feel, what you see, your circumstances and everything. I'm talking about stretching that faith, folks. We have to get beyond this faith of standing a little while and then throwing in the towel. There's been too much throwing in the towel. We have to stand until that thing happens. I stood for something now for many, many years, just starting to see them happen. I know some of you others can get on here and testify. Folks, this is a time that we have to put our faith to the test, and we're going to see a harvest that we never knew was possible beyond what we can even dream. God is willing to do above all things, above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us. Isn't that what Ephesians 3:20 says? According to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in us? Well, the Holy Spirit power and how much we dare to believe that. That's what really does it. So we need to develop that. Make sure it's scriptural. Then when it's scriptural, nothing can circumvent it. Nothing can stop it. The devil can't stop it. And I'll tell you, there's an incident there with Daniel, the 21 days that there was war in heaven. There was a stoppage there. It can be stopped that way when there's a war in heaven. But remember, the angel told Daniel, he said, we heard your prayer 21 days ago, but the battle went on up here. And 21 days afterwards, it was done. He received it. So you see, you and I need to recognize that we did our part, and then that's why maybe we didn't receive it right away. Maybe it is 20 days, 21 days, 2 weeks, a week, whatever it might be. We praise the Lord, consider we have it, and we thank him for it, because actually we're ushering the angels on in there in the battle when you stop and think about it. We're actually ushering them on because they hear our praises and thanks to the Father, and that certainly is helping their warfare, isn't it? I really believe that. I believe it does help the warfare because that's what we are told to do, and I think that might be one of the reasons we're told it, because we're encouraging heaven. We're encouraging heaven ourselves, and they see us, you see. We're becoming a part of that. Okay, the second thing, we need to develop an intimate relationship with the Lord, and that's Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Wow, that is powerful, folks. I'm telling you, you don't just get that just by looking at it. You think on that because too many people don't go deep enough in that. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Whoa, fellowship of his sufferings. look what Jesus suffered. You talk about people letting you down, failing you, double-crossing you. The very disciples turned their back on him, like Peter denied him. None of us experienced all what he experienced. Of course not. Everything, you name it, he experienced it much, much, much worse than you and I experienced it. And the way he suffered, right, the baptism of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, because this formed Jesus, actually. Being made conformable because this was his life that he did, which was what he was. And he says, folks, he said, the things that I do, so shall you do. That's good, right? But the things that I suffer, so shall you suffer. In other words, a servant is no greater than his leader, you see. We're no greater than Jesus. In fact, Jesus is so much more than we can even imagine. So much more. And when we know this, and we're developing a relationship with him, the suffering that he did, we need to be able to suffer some too. Too many people are crying whenever something doesn't go right and they're ready to give up or have their head down, and people see them and they say, what's wrong? And really, we're kind of blowing a testimony because we talk about a mighty God and we're hanging in the mully grubs. Then when things are great, hallelujah, glory, glory, things are rough, sad face. That's not going to win anybody to Jesus. People are looking more of our actions and reactions to anything than they are. You can lead people to Christ, but which I've done for many years, lead them, going door to door and all these things. But I'll tell you what, the greatest way you can lead a person to Christ is by example, your lifestyle. Because if you don't have a lifestyle, especially those that you know, you're not going to lead them anywhere. In fact, it's through the Holy Ghost they receive Christ anyhow, but you're not going to be much of a testimony. I'm not going to be much of a testimony if we aren't living the life. Too often we want to tell people what the Word says, like the Pharisee did. We're going to do this, you're going to do that, but do as I say, not as I do. You can't have a do as I say attitude. It must be a do as I do. Paul says, as I follow Christ, follow me. As I follow Christ, follow me. And you and I need to follow Christ. So what we need to do is to know him in an intimate relationship by taking those things onto ourselves and enter into his presence in that secret place of worship and praise and pleasing him. And when we do that, when we please him and we enter into that place and give him all and just let him dominate our lives, he takes us there. He takes us in these things. You don't bump yourself into something. He opens it up for you because he sees he can trust you. He knows you mean business. He knows your heart. You can't kid God. We can kid one another, but we can't fool God. He knows. And if we really mean business with a pure heart, we're there. We're there. He's going to take it. It gets there. It goes there. He takes you there. That's how Abraham was a friend of God. And that was quite a testimony, wasn't it? A friend of God. You and I need to have that friend of God, not just as our Savior and our provider and our healer, but an intimate relationship of talking to him, because he doesn't just want us just for what we can get from him or even what we can do, but just to love on him. He wants us to love him and just praise him and thank him for who he is and exalt him. You see, that goes along with it too, more than the service, more than asking him for things, but tell him just because he's God we do these things. We need to recognize him as he is and reverence him. Through humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life, Proverbs 22:4. Humility, recognize who he is and who we are, and respect and reverence for the Lord are life, riches, and, oh my, it is so much. There's so many things he has for us, but we need to be in that pace. Riches, honor, and life for that. That's a pretty good exchange. Okay, the next thing. In order for us to get into that place that we reflect as one having authority and not being like the writers or the scribes of the times, use your faith in God's word as a lifestyle. Use your faith in God's word as a lifestyle. It's not just for me to use the word of God when I'm on this program or I'm somewhere else ministering or I'm doing something or ministering to somebody. I'm to live my life according to what I'm telling you right now. And I do. I do according to the best of my ability, and I want to improve and be better and better. I want to be better at it. You should want to be better at it. We all should want to be better at it. use your faith in God's word as your lifestyle 24/7. 24/7. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, don't put on a show because certain people are there or you're trying to impress somebody, but do the same thing whether they're there or not. And then he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you know what that really means? Salvation isn't just salvation of soul going to heaven somebody. That's the bottom line, getting saved, going to heaven, not going to hell. But that's beginning. Salvation encompasses all the abundant life that we're supposed to have in this earth, and it encompasses the fruit that we're to bear. Work out your salvation, everything that God has given you, the 600-plus promises, what he's directed you to do. That's your salvation, your lifestyle, being a Christian. You're saved. The salvation of God is in your life. He's putting it all into you. He's given everything, according to 2 Peter 1:3 and 4, everything that pertains to life and godliness. But you and I have got to use it, using that authority, the authority he's given us, using that. And he said we're to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. That means very cautious about it, not taking it lightly, being very serious about it, meaning business about it, not playing games about it, being honest about it, being honest about ourselves and with ourselves, not kidding ourselves that we are okay, it's that other guy that's got the problem. A lot of times we are experts at pointing out the problems in others' lives, but we have a tough time seeing them in our lives. There's an old expression, don't cast stones with glass windows if you have a glass window yourself, something along that order. Don't throw ferns if you have a glass window, because I tell you, we all have areas in our life that we must maintain. We must get in order and maintain them. And when you get your life in order, I can have my life in order today. Okay, I do have my life in order today. Tomorrow's a new day, isn't it? So I must make sure I have my life in order tomorrow. The next day's another day. So you see, this is a continual thing. It's not just a one-time only. It's a continual thing. Okay, the last thing that I have on here for how we can come to the place of authority to others, that they will recognize that, hey, that's a man, that's a woman of God. They're a man, woman of God. They speak the word. Okay, is faith in Jesus Christ and his name, not faith in your faith. Did you ever hear a person say to you, or you heard them say, hey, I see so-and-so having faith to get somebody out of a wheelchair and get healed and miracles. I don't have that kind of faith. You know what they're telling you? I don't have faith in my faith to get that job done. And they won't get the job done because they have faith in their faith. But let's look at Acts 3:16 and see what the Bible says about having faith in your faith. Acts 3:16 says, and his name, through faith, and his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know ye, yea, the faith which is by him hath given his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let me read that again. And his name, that's the name of Jesus, through faith in the name of Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by Jesus hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The lame man at the gate was healed, not because Peter and John used their faith, in a sense, faith in their faith, but in the name of Jesus. They had faith in Jesus. They had faith in his name, and in his name they said, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto you. And they gave him the name of Jesus and their faith in his name. And when they gave that faith, what happened? This man became whole, didn't he? He became well. So that's what it does. So when you are using your faith, don't consider your faith at all. Just consider Jesus, because faith is considering Jesus and considering his word. And his word, and in his name, the one that said, ask me, and he said, I will give it to you. The Father will give it to you. You're asking Father God in the name of Jesus, the one that said, come to the Father in my name, whatever it is, you see, in the name of Jesus, I declare this. You have faith in Jesus, as he told us to do it, and faith in using his name to the Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father. And that's what they did when this man was healed. That's what you and I need to do. Using the name of Jesus and faith in that name. Nothing about yourself. Miracles don't happen. Great things don't happen when you and I are in the picture, folks. We have to stay out of that picture, and all we see is Jesus and his power and his love and his name and the Holy Spirit there, and we're just there. We have nothing in it. And when you move out of the way, that's when the Holy Ghost moves in and does his thing. But when you come in, he said, well, there can't be two of us here, so I'll let you do it. I don't believe we're going to accomplish anything, are we? Jesus told us, well, he said, it's not by power and might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, in Zechariah 4:6. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So it's evident that you and I can do nothing unless it's Jesus, can we? And we better do it Jesus' way, or we're going to do nothing, are we? We're not going to have anything. So I want to do the things the way the Bible tells me to do them. I want to obey Jesus no matter what people say or think or whatever the thing is. I want to follow the Lord. And this should be your heart's cry tonight as you heard this word. The next scripture and the very last scripture I'm going to use, I love this scripture, 2 Timothy 1. In fact, I love them all. They're all great because it's God's word. Let me start that again. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that way, or against that day. In other words, I know who I believe, and I'm convinced he's taking care of it because I know he will take care of it. I have no doubt in my mind that whatever I say, it's happening, and that's it. No plan B. Plan A, I know whom I believe. I know. Now, a scribe would say, I know whom I believe, and I believe that this will happen, blah, blah, blah. He'll speak like that. I know whom I believe. But I don't talk like that. I know whom I believe. I know whom I believe. That's not just in the way I said those words to be authoritative as you're listening to my words, but my spirit is speaking. I know whom I believe. It comes from within, folks. You don't just use words and have a good sound. You might have a good sounding voice, a good speaking voice. You might have a good radio voice, good TV. But I'm a good TV appearance and good TV voice. But, folks, that won't get the job done either. It's what is within you. When you speak that word out, it'll happen. It was sort of like the seven sons of Zebedee there. They were going to cast the devil out of this place here, this person. And they went, and the seven sons said, I adjure you. In other words, they're addressing the devil to try to cast him out. They were using the words basically the disciples used, and the devil said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They came just like a scribe, just saying words. But when Paul came, of course, Jesus himself, when they said things, when Paul, in the name of Jesus, spoke it out, it happened, you see. But they were just saying words from their minds, from what they heard. But Paul spoke from within, and things happened. And you and I need to speak within our spirit, because this is spiritual development. It's our spiritual man. You don't just say the right words like hocus pocus and it works. It's not some magical act. It's what we have within our spirit man that resonates inside there and comes forth and manifests on the outside. It's what you have within you. Greater is he within you, and he is in the world. So it's coming what is within you, which is Jesus Christ, out. It isn't something you're manufacturing outside that, wow, I need to jump around a little bit. I need to get excited. I need to get this crowd excited. I need to do this. I need to do that. Some people do that because there's no anointing within their hearts, and they have to do something to keep the people awake. But I don't want to preach a sermon like that. I don't want to minister like that. I want to minister under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When you're speaking, the power of God is right there, getting that job done, you see. And that's the way God has intended for us, because he's given us the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the one that enables and gets a project done. Amen. So praise God, praise God, praise God. So right now I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn the program over to Evangelist Linda. And I'm going to pray, and I want you to listen to the prayer, and I want you to receive now whatever you might have need of, right now, and receive it, because we're going to take authority, we're going to use authority, and we're just going to receive. And I want you to expect to receive, because it's not me. Don't see me at all. Just forget about me. I'm talking about Jesus. You shouldn't even thought about me at all tonight. You should just thought about that word, because the Holy Ghost is ministering. There's an anointing here. I feel great, folks. I felt great on this message speaking. I feel super great in my heart. God, I know the Holy Ghost is here. So let's get ready to receive something from the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Father, that your word is true. And I thank you for your presence, Father, that you're here with each one of us. And, Father, when you're on the scene, that means you're ready to do something, Father. That means that you're ready to do something in our lives. Every one of us here, those that are listening, including Linda and myself, Evangelist Linda and myself, all of us, Father, we're all your children here that have needs one way or another, things that we've been standing for. Certain things might have been bound. A lot of people here right now, Lord, have need maybe one thing to be taken care of in their life, but it'll release the flow, and they will be on to what their destinies are. Maybe one little hindrance, maybe two, whatever. But, Father, right now tonight, I just lift up every person here. I'm hearing this, my voice right now. And I take authority over all satanic work in the lives of these listeners right now, each one of our lives, and every area of sickness, disease, fear, lack, anything that's held back people, any negative forces, any situations that are not right. And Satan, I command you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I command your power, and I render it helpless, and I cast you out of these people right now, out of their minds, off of their thought process, out of their lives, out of their bodies, their families, their finances, their ministries. I command you out in the name of Jesus right now. And Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, let your anointing, your healing balm, your delivering balm, come forth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, be strong. I am your God. I love you, my children. Hearken unto my word, the Lord. I will never leave you or forsake you, saith the Lord. I'll never leave you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, enter in the vengeance into anything the Lord has given you now also. Yes, you're more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror, because Jesus conquered. You're a conqueror also, no matter what you're seeing or what you're feeling. You are a conqueror. You're going over. You are not going under. You are going over. Oh, he won't suffer your foot to be moved.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Testify of my goodness. Testify of my goodness, my people. Glorify me, says the Lord. Testify of my goodness and my love to others, that they may be blessed also.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the glory. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we drink it in. We drink it all in. We drink in.
Hallelujah.
We drink in. We receive your anointing into our lives, every one of us right now. Yes, the anointing is here right now. Seek, just allow that anointing just to flow in and through. Just allow that and just welcome the anointing in. The anointing is knocking on your door. Leave that anointing permeate you to do his work.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
I just want to read this scripture, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
Yes.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Thank you,
Hallelujah,
Master.
Lord.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5:12. That was two scriptures on rejoice the Lord was given to me. And I was looking for the one with the word persecuted, because there's a new way of persecution. There's a modern day persecution for the church today. And those that are truly walking with the Lord, true believers, this is the scripture that God has for you, Matthew 5:12. I'll read it again. Rejoice and be glad. I know this is also to me personally, because it's hard to be glad when you're being persecuted. But the scripture says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Everybody wants to be rewarded down here. But the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, and I'll just slip Jesus' name in there because he was greatly persecuted. The prophets came before us. Jesus came before us. For in the same way, if you study the scriptures, you'll see how they were persecuted. They persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in other words, however you're being persecuted right now, for Jesus' sake, he says in his word, Matthew 5:12, the same way the prophets were persecuted. So that's what the Lord was given to me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, as we walk in that power, that anointing in our lives, That is a blessing that he has a word to do. But the other side of that coin is the persecution that comes our way. That's why sometimes you might have waited. People that are on the broadcast have waited a while till you get greater anointings because you weren't at the place spiritually to be able to overstand those, to understand those things and deal with them. See, we have to have a maturity that we are able to take the blows that come against us. We know how to deal with them. We're strong enough and recognize the darts of the devil. And that's why a novice doesn't get anything because they'll fold up too quickly. But that's what it is. When you're asking for greater things from God, there's greater things that come against you. But you still will handle them in a no-so way, even though sometimes God will direct you different ways. But yet it's basically the same thing that you have authority over him, and that is the foundational belief that you have the authority. He has no authority over you. You have it over him in spite of the strength that come your way. So always just maintain that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I have authority over him, and I will not be bulldozed by him. I will continue on.
Amen.
I will walk in love. Walk in power and please my God, and I will rejoice. And I will rejoice in you, Lord. That is the attitude that you and I must take in this last day. And he'll enable you to do it. You cannot do what we're talking about in here. Anything that I talked about tonight or Evangelist Linda said, you cannot do it in yourself. But by our enabler, the Holy Spirit that was given to us by Jesus when he said, I will send you a comforter, enables us to do everything that the book tells us to do. We can do everything that the Bible says in Jesus Christ, in his name, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing. Everything that Jesus did, you and I can do except dying on the cross with a purpose. All the acts he did and the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen. Fruiters. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So it's yours, folks, but you have to pick up that authority. That's the whole thrust of this message. Now, you have to pick up that stick. Don't just look at others that have done this and been very successful, great men and women of God in the Bible or out there, and people of this day or maybe 100 years ago. But see yourself as that, because don't limit yourself to any man, not even Apostle Paul. Look at Jesus and look and set those sights for wherever Jesus takes you. Maybe he will take you higher than any man that ever was. Maybe higher than any man. Who knows? But when you limit yourself to anything, then you are limited. So just go as far as he'll take you, because he can do above all that you think or ask according to what's in you. And what's in you must be pleasing him, single focus on Jesus, obeying him, not considering anything or anybody, but just consider pleasing Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. And that's the attitude the apostles had. They suffered. And there's suffering that happens sometimes, like as there are all kinds of things that come. You know, today, this is the greatest time I've ever experienced in my life. But I want to tell you this, I've had more battles. I'm as joyful now. I'm just joyful in the Lord continually. But I'm suffering battles. But yet those battles aren't bothering me because I have that joy in my heart. The power of God resonates in my life. And he'll do that for you. He'll do that for everybody. That's for everybody. That isn't because I'm a minister. It has nothing to do with it. It's for whosoever will. The Bible is a whosoever will book. Whosoever will apply it to their lives, it will work. It will work. And that's what you and I have to set our sights on. Forget about others. Think about you and Jesus, because he's got something for you. I don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, orange, purple, been in prison, been a murderer, been a killer, you name it, because no matter who you are, he's going to meet you where you're at because he has a plan for your life.
Amen. Praise God. Well, tell us about next Sunday's broadcast.
Okay. You know, that was something I was going to look up there. I know what it's going to be now. I have 2 weeks. It's going to be about healing. It's going to be a healing time. So those that are sick, please have them tune in. Those that are listening, it's going to be healing. It's about healing in these 2 weeks. The next two will be healing. And the last one, I forget what that one is, but anyhow, the next 2 weeks will be healing messages. And it'll be dealing in areas here to just be expecting your healing. Those that have needs of healing, tune in. Tune in and receive your healing.
Okay, well, I have to have that on the flyer about people can call in for prayer for healing. So So we'll try to work on that for next week. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory for the broadcast tonight. I thank you again, my brother, and your precious wife. Give my love to her.
I
really appreciate you. I was very ministered to. And I just thank God for you, the gifts that he's given you, and God blessing me with you using this platform to minister globally. So we just praise God tonight. Is there something else you would like to share?
Yes, the only thing I wanted to say when you said about the phoning in, yes, that is good. I'm glad you said that because that way we can have the lines open because there's nothing like praying for people right on the line when you and I are there and they'll call in and we can pray for them right there. And we're praying maybe online however the Lord directs, but to call in too, any anointing too, even if we don't pray for them, for them to be healed without praying for them, they'll receive their healing, but to have it there for them and they can call in and we can just do it right over the air. That'd be great.
Okay, cool.
That'd be great.
So that'll
cool.
be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I always try to end the broadcast to encourage somebody. The Lord loves you and he has a great plan for your life. And I just want to say that anytime you want to go on demand and listen to a broadcast, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. So just scroll down and look for something, a title that may impress you that would encourage your life or somebody else. You can share that website address again, www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. Share it with someone and let them be encouraged as well. So the Lord loves you, and thank you for tuning in to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcasts. And I just want to end by saying only what you do for Christ will last. It's worth him saying to you on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you. Until we meet again, have a blessed night and dream God dreams. I love you.